but they haven't made contact yet.
"Where's your cabin?" Showalter asked Jody T.
10 doors down the passageway, starboard side."
"Convenient."
Showalter sat on the couch facing them, his hand closing slowly on the concealed blaster.
"Where are you based?"
"Bill Bringy,"
Jody T. said.
"What about you, Saiga?"
"Ord Mantell." The passage door began to open, revealing Darda with a blaster raised to his chin in a two-handed grip. Showalter made brief eye contact and laughed to cover any sounds the door might make in opening wide.
"So was that serious about dinner at the captain's table?" he asked.
"I wish," Saiga said, smiling. Showalter brought the blaster out with cool efficiency and fired. The bolt flashed between Jody T and the Bothan, hitting Darda squarely in the chest. Darda flew back from the doorway as if kicked by a gun dock, but managed to squeeze off one blast that caught Jody T in the back, propelling him onto the couch. Showalter and Saiga hit the deck. At the same time, Vergaer leapt from her bed to protect Elan, forcing her into a corner of the cabin and planting herself between the priestess and Harm. Showalter managed to get to one knee, but Capo had him in his sights and fired. The blast found Showalter's left shoulder just under the collarbone and spun him completely around, but even as he was falling, shots from the floor told him that Saiga had joined the fight. A blood-curdling scream rang out, and Showalter blinked his eyes open in time to see a wounded Capo dragging himself toward the front door of the adjacent suite, and Saiga, propelling herself backward on her rear, pressing a hand to the gaping hole a blaster bolt had opened in the center of her chest. Showalter came to his feet and staggered into the adjoining cabin space, gun raised in one shaking hand. Capo was already halfway into the corridor, and all Showalter's shot did was provide him with an impetus to hurry. Showalter stumbled to the door, but only to close and lock it. Wisps of smoke coiling from his charred shoulder, he wobbled back to his cabin. His fingers found no pulse in Jody T's throat. Throwing Elan and Vergaer a quick look, he crawled over to Saiga, who had propped herself against the entry door.
"Did you get him, Major?"
she asked weakly. Showalter shook his head.
"Who were they?"
"I don't know, but they had the code."
The Bothan's eyes widened.
"Our code?"
"Same one I was given."
"Then how did you know we were on the level?"
"One of them claimed to be working out of Gamor. I guess whoever supplied the code didn't know that we phased out that safe house a long while ago."
A pained groan escaped Saiga.
"Saiga,"
Showalter said sharply,
"you said we have two more aboard."
Eyelids fluttering, she managed a nod.
"Who are they? How were you instructed to make contact? Saiga! Saiga!"
Her eyes rolled up into her head. A final breath rattled from her lungs, and she died. Showalter's eyes glazed over. He turned and sat unmoving on the floor.
"You're hurt,"
Elan said close to his ear in what sounded like genuine concern. Vergaer was suddenly beside him, her slanted eyes brimming with tears.
"Let me help you," she said.
Cupping her delicate hands, she held them to her eyes. Then she rubbed her moistened palms together and pressed them to Showalter's wound. He locked his teeth against intense but short-lived pain. Then he took a long, shuddering breath.
"Better?"
Vergaer asked.
"Yes,"
he told her, plainly astonished.
"It's a temporary repair. You're going to need medical attention."
He nodded in understanding, pushed himself to his feet, and rearmed his blaster. Cautiously opening the door, he peered into the passageway.
"We're leaving," he said. "Our only chance is to locate my backup."
"But you don't know who you're looking for,"
Elan reminded. Showalter nodded grimly.
"I'm hoping they'll recognize me."
Han emerged from the portable refresher, slamming the door behind him as if to prevent something horrible from escaping.
"I'll bet anything some Gamorrean's been in there," he growled to Droma. "Can't stick to their own freshers, have to foul ours."
"Is this your typical morning mood?"
Droma asked.
Han glared at him. "No, but it's my mood when I don't get any sleep."
The Rin made a sound of dismissal.
"I didn't ask to share your cabin space. I was fine being in steerage."
"I don't mind sharing my cabin space. What I mind you tailing my face half the night. This is hopeless,"
Han said as he dressed quickly and left the cabin. He accelerated, figuring that the Rin's short legs wouldn't allow him to keep up. Han quickly rounded a corner in the passageway. Then, out of nowhere, powerful arms grabbed him from behind, holding him fast and whirling him around. "Han," his interdictor said, latching onto him for dear life.
"I won't even try to imagine how Scour talked you into this duty, but I'm sure glad to see you."
"Scour," Han said. Then recognition dawned. "Showalter? What the—"
"They hit us in the cabin, Han. Agents working for the Yuuzhong Vong killed two of my people. I got one of them, but the other got away. A slippery-looking Rodian named Capo. He's probably got reinforcements aboard, and they're probably searching for us now. You've got to find a secure place to hide them."
Han followed Showalter's hand to Elan and Vergeer.
"What's so important?"
"They're Yuuzhong Vong,"
Showalter rasped.
"Defectors."
Mouth falling open, Han gave them a closer look, then returned his attention to Showalter. "How'd you—"
"Is this your partner?"
the NRI operative asked. Han spun, found Droma standing behind him, and frowned.
"He's just until Bilbringi, Han,"
Showalter said with sudden frailty.
"Han?" Droma asked in mild surprise.
Showalter collapsed back against the corridor wall and slid to his rear, with Han following him down.
"Backup personnel will meet you in Bilbringi. They'll handle the transfer from there."
The NRI officer groaned in pain. Han realized he had blood on his hands and cut his eyes to Showalter's shoulder.
"You're hurt!"
He grabbed hold of a passing Duro steward.
"This man needs to be moved to sick bay immediately. Got it?"
The steward's head bobbed nervously.
"Yes, sir, immediately."
Showalter screwed his eyes shut against a wave of pain.
"Get going, Han!"
Han turned to the defectors.
"You two are coming with me. Any trouble, and I'll stick you in a locker for the rest of the voyage. Understand?"
The woman bristled, but the little alien nodded.
"We're in your hands."
Han raised his index finger.
"Remember that."
They hadn't gone 10 meters when he heard Droma ask,
"Han?"
"My code name," Han said over his shoulder.
"You're an intelligence agent?"
Han came to a halt and whirled around.
"Stay out of this, Droma."
Just then, the Queen sustained an unexpected jolt.
"Attention, all passengers. This is the captain speaking. We have been forcibly reverted to real space by unknown raiders."
"Raiders," Han sniggered. "They're not raiders. They're after someone in particular."
"Are you sure?"
Droma asked warily.
"Pretty sure," Han deadpanned.
"It's my people,"
Elan said, stricken with fear.
"Please, don't let them find us. Please."
"The nerve of him," Leia said, venting to Luke and Mara as she paced the floor of their apartment on Coruscant. "Telling me I'm incapable of understanding his grief, then running off to who knows where."
"You can take the boy out of Corellia, but you can't take Corellia out of the boy,"
Mara remarked from the couch. Leia turned to Mara.
"I'm sorry to unleash on you two. I haven't even asked how you are." "I'm feeling a lot stronger,"
Mara said, and let it go at that. Leia smiled to herself, thinking about how deeply she cared for Mara.
"I thought you would have returned to Yavin 4 by now," she said after a moment.
Luke and Mara traded secretive looks. Then Luke said,
"Have you been informed that a Yuuzhong Vong has defected?"
Leia gaped at him.
"What? When?"
"Shortly before you left for Ord Mantell. She's being brought to Coruscant for further debriefing."
"That's great news."
Leia's eyes lit up briefly. And she trained them on Luke. "Does the defector have something to do with your still being here?"
"She's asked to meet with some of us."
"Us? As in Jedi?" Leia straightened.
"Don't tell me you've agreed to it."
"She claims to have information about an illness the Yuuzhong Vong brought to our galaxy,"
Mara answered. Leia brought one hand to her mouth.
"But Mara..."
A familiar shriek emanated from the adjoining room, and C-3PO hurried into view, jerky movements reflecting his inner agitation. Behind him rolled R2-D2, razzing and squeaking in what was clearly derision.
"Oh, please don't deactivate me," C-3PO whined. "It wasn't my fault. I was only trying to help."
R2-D2 zithered something scornful.
"Oh, switch off, you little drink caddy."
"3PO, calm down," Leia said. "What's this all about?"
He swung to her.
It was just on the news net, Mistress Leia. The Queen of Empire has been set upon by raiders rimward of the Bilbringi system. A distress call was dispatched, but the ship is probably being boarded at this very moment.
Luke showed Leia a quizzical look. A vessel transporting refugees from Ord Mantell to the core, she explained.
But Master Solo,
C-3PO said. Leia stared.
What about him?
C-3PO threw his hands in the air.
He's aboard the ship.
Leia shook her head as if she hadn't heard him correctly. 3PO, I don't understand.
Oh, I shouldn't have listened to him, but when he repeated the very same words you had used earlier, I was certain that my decision was justified.
What words?
That sometimes it's better not to know what others are thinking. That sometimes it's less painful not to know the truth. You yourself said so, Mistress.
R2-D2 whistled in sarcasm. But what does all that have to do with Han being aboard the Queen of Empire? Leia asked.
Master Han asked me to arrange for his passage, and I did so by impersonating you, Mistress Leia. Your vocal patterns, at any rate. And as to why I never made mention of Master Han's whereabouts, that was because you never once asked me directly if I had knowledge to that effect.
3PO, Leia cut him off. I'm certain you're not fully to blame, not when it concerns Han. But be honest with me now. Why was he going to Bilbringi?
I know nothing of his reasons, Mistress.
R2-D2 rotated his domed head in a full circle, chirping and chittering in a mix of rebuke and concern. 3PO, Luke said. You said that the ship issued a distress call?
According to the Newsnet reports, yes, Master Luke.
Luke looked at Leia. We could go. Mara threw him a dubious glance.
Even if we used the Namadi corridor, we'd never make it in time.
Leia shot to her feet. You're forgetting one thing. We'll be flying the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
You mustn't let them find us,
Elan wailed into Han's ear as they threaded and shouldered their way through a mixed-species mob jamming the passageway. Han angled his head just enough to throw her a warning look.
Either you pipe down, or I'll turn you over to them myself.
You do well to fear me,
she told him.
Save the threats for someone who cares, sweetheart. I'm only doing this because Showalter took a blast of beam for you, which means he thinks you're pretty important.
More important than you know.
We'll see about that. But right now you're my charge, and you'll do as I say. Got it?
She allowed a defiant nod. From a portside blister, it was possible to observe the approach of the raider ship. Running lights suggested a long, cylindrically shaped vessel, equivalent in size to an old blockade runner. As it maneuvered within range of the Queen's outboard illumination arrays, Han saw, much to his initial bafflement, that the ship was, in fact, an old Corellian corvette. Just aft of the cockpit module, the matte hull was emblazoned with the clasped hands insignia of the Peace Brigade. The words of Big Bungie's Aquilish lieutenant rushed to mind. They have an operation plan for Bilbringi.
Wreck,
Han said to himself in astonishment.
The Peace Brigade was after the defectors.
Why are we standing here?
Elan asked anxiously.
The agents who escaped will be searching for us.
That isn't a Yuuzhang Vong ship,
Han told her.
But that is, Droma said, pointing.
Han followed the Rin's thin, velvety finger.
I take back what I said. You must be pretty important for them to send a warship.
As important to my people as I am to yours, she answered. I have vital information for your Jedi Knights.
Han's brows knitted in interest.
Concerning what?
An illness my people introduced.
Before he could stop himself, Han had taken her roughly by the shoulders.
You're serious about this?
She nodded. Out of nowhere, another choice had been forced on him. By remaining on the Queen, he might be able to finish the business with Wreck, as Roa had put it. But if Elan was who she claimed to be, her safe conduct to Coruscant could mean a cure for Mara's illness. He blew out his breath. Wreck would have to wait.
Maybe you are worth the effort after all,
he said at last. The Queen shuddered concussively as the corvette fastened herself alongside.
The raiders will hook up with the survivors of the team that hit Showalter and begin a deck-by-deck search. We need to move fast.
Where to?
Droma asked.
The docking bay. Our only hope is to make off with one of their own ships.
An ovoid of Yorick coral propelled by a Dovan Basil of the highest caliber, this was the swiftest ship in the flotilla. From the bridge, Nom Anor addressed Vilips, consciousness joined to Harar and Malik Kaa. His view through the crystalline viewport took in the Peace Brigade's gunship and the Queen.
I have my agents under surveillance,
Nom Anor updated.
The capabilities of the Dovan Basil aboard the Peace Brigade gunship have been neutralized. And I have commanded our own Dovan Basil to prevent the gunship from separating from the Starliner. Should the Peace Brigade succeed in locating Alan, any attempt at embarkation will fail.
Harar's Philip spoke.
No doubt your misguided operatives are aware of our presence. They will wonder why you aren't coming to their assistance, and they may attempt contact.
Let them wonder, Nom Anor snapped. I'm only interested in persuading the New Republic to conclude that the actions of the Peace Brigade are simply an attempt on our part to retrieve Alan.
He was interrupted by his second on the bridge. Fists snapped to opposite shoulders in apology for the intrusion.
A ship emerging from hyperspace, Executor. Our signal Vilip identifies it as a New Republic cruiser carrier.
Nom Anor addressed the Vilips.
The arrival of that vessel should simplify matters.
He swung to the bridge officer.
Make ready to engage the enemy's starfighters. You may disapprove of this, subaltern, but you're going to have to make it appear as if you were chased off. You have my word that your losses will not be held against you.
The Millennium Falcon burst into real space on the far side of Bilbringi's profusion of orbital habitats and mined planetoids. Leia and Luke had the forward seats, with Mara behind Luke in the chair normally assigned to a communications officer, and C-3PO in the navigator's chair. R2-D2 had planted himself at the rear of the cockpit with his grasping arm clamped to a slender conduit.
Unidentified Corellian freighter!
An incensed voice barked over the comm.
This is Captain Jorlin of the New Republic cruiser carrier Thurs. You've jumped into a combat zone. I suggest you hold fast or return to wherever you came from.
Captain Jorlin, Leia said. This is Ambassador Organa Solo.
Ambassador, what in blazes are you doing here?
The captain sounded surprised, though hardly cheered.
And when is that husband of yours going to get around to installing an authorized transponder?
I'll ask him when I see him, Captain. He's aboard the Queen of Empire. We've come to lend a hand if you'll have our help.
Negative, Ambassador. We're engaged with a Yuuzhang Vong frigate in this arena. I request you hold your position for the moment.
Acknowledged, Captain. We'll stay put. For now, Leia added under her breath. With concussive explosions rocking the Queen, Han peeked around the corner of a corridor at a hatch that opened on the docking bay. Guarding the way were two men armed with blasters and stun nets. No good, he told Droma and the women. They've sealed off every approach. Withdrawing, he pressed his back to the bulkhead and glanced left and right.
We need a hole to hide in.
He led them to a bank of drop shafts and cautiously peered over the edge of one of them. Far below was the floor of a cargo hold.
In case you haven't noticed, Droma said, the shafts have been deactivated.
So we find some shock cord, Han said. It's only, what, 50 meters or so to the bottom?
The sound of approaching footsteps put a quick end to the dilemma. Even after all the years, Rek Desh was recognizable by his cocky gait and full sleeve of tattoos. With him walked five examples of well-armed Peace Brigade thuggery, and a spindly miscreant who would have made a perfect Yuuzhang Vong, if in fact he wasn't one, disguised by an oversized cloak. Rek advanced a couple of steps and swept his eyes over everyone. Much to Han's surprise, Rek didn't appear to recognize him, but perhaps only because he was too busy scrutinizing Alan. Shortly, a knowing smile began to pull at the corners of his mouth. He turned and waved a signal to his rail-thin confederate. From a sturdy carry case the lanky man set at his feet, he extracted, by the scruff of its bristly neck, a nasty-tempered, sharp-toothed creature that looked like the offspring of a Nagok and a Quillerat. Han heard Ilan's sharp intake of breath and saw her eyes widen as the creature's handler let the thing get a whiff of her. All at once, a layer of skin seemed to peel back from Ilan's nose, cheeks, and neck, and withdraw into the collar of her blouse. Bulging as it rushed down her body, the layer of skin flowed out the hem of her skirt and slithered off for safety, revealing Ilan in all her tattooed splendor. Out of the corner of his eye, Han saw Droma's jaw drop in unabashed wonder.
"Gotcha," Rex said, beaming.
Two men stepped in to take charge of Ilan. At the same time, the creature, who had sniffed out the Ooglith masker, leapt, snarling from its handler's arms and went after the living sheath with a vengeance, snatching it with its razor-sharp teeth and shaking it around as if it were a slab of meat. The Yuzhong Vong followed, grabbed hold of the creature, and shoved it and the shredded flesh garment back into the carry case. Wreck couldn't have been more pleased.
"That's the thing about Ooglith maskers," he said to newly decorticated Ilan. "They're as easy to intimidate as..."
Rex's words trailed off as his gaze settled on Han. Then he, too, went a bit wide-eyed, in a manner that mixed pleasant surprise with sudden disquiet.
"Han?" he said. "Han, it is you, right? Grayer, heavier, but son of a gun. Same off-kilter mouth and lady-killer looks.
Hello, Wreck.
Figures they'd put you in charge of these two."
"That isn't exactly the way it happened, Wreck."
"I'm sure."
"Have you taken a look outside, Wreck? How far do you think you're gonna get?"
"I only need to get as far as that Yuzhong Vong ship."
"If I were you, I'd start rethinking my loyalties."
"Loyalties?" Wreck said in exaggerated dismay. "What's loyalty worth on the open market? Guys like you break me up, hon. Profiteers without the guts to change sides, suddenly calling themselves patriots. I know who's coming out on top in this one, and I'll do whatever I have to live happily ever after."
"You're talking treason, Wreck."
"I speak it fluently, friend."
Han fought down an urge to throw his stiffened fingers into Wreck's windpipe.
"Remember Chewbacca?
The Wookiee? Sure I do. Best of the best."
Han swallowed.
"Your new employers killed him. Pulled a moon down on him."
Wreck's eyebrows arched.
"The Wook was at Cernpetal?"
He puffed out his breath and shook his head back and forth.
"I'm sorry to hear that, Han. Honest. But I had nothing to do with that op."
"What about the op on Atzeri, Wreck? That's where Roa's wife Luil died because of what the Peace Brigade set in motion."
"Roa's wife?"
Wreck blinked, then began to shake his head in protest.
"That op wasn't supposed to end like it did."
Han's eyes bored into him.
"Does that make it easier to swallow?"
Wreck frowned.
"A man has to work."
Han lunged for him, barely managing to wrap his hands around Wreck's neck before someone knocked him to the deck.
"I don't mind a turncoat, Wreck," Han said, gazing up as he got to his feet. "But I draw the line at second-rate ones. You're gonna give mercenaries a bad name."
Wreck's rejoinder was a sneer. He pulled out his personal comlink and thumbed it on.
"We've got them," he said into the pickup. "We'll be heading back to the ship momentarily."
"Won't do you much good,"
a voice replied from the unit.
"We can't detach from the airlock. All systems, even sublight and repulsors, are down. No response at all from the Dovan Basil. It's like the thing's gone into stasis."
Wreck swung to the unmasker's handler, who looked mystified.
"Have you attempted to contact the Yuzhong Vong ship?"
Wreck said into the comlink.
"No response."
Wreck cursed.
"All right," he said after a moment. "I'll take it to them in my shuttle."
The man at the other end of the link laughed.
"It's doomsday out here, Wreck. You'll be lucky to clear the launch bay without getting yourself wasted."
Han smirked.
"Proverbial drop in the ointment, huh, Wreck?"
Wreck gestured two of the men to take charge of Vergeer, then he turned to Han.
"You know, I'm less worried about interference from those starfighters than I am about interference from you."
He drew his blaster and ordered Han to move to the nearest drop shaft.
If we'd met somewhere else, we could be sharing ice-cold geysers right now. But I can't have you trying to follow us or talking to your New Republic friends. You've got way too much good fortune on your side. You always did.
Seems my luck's run out.
Han and Droma said at the same time. Rek looked from one to the other, then laughed shortly.
You two make quite a pair. Too bad I've got to split you up.
He lifted the blaster's barrel.
Down you go, Han. Next stop, the cargo hold.
Han gulped.
Come on, Rek. You don't need to do this, for old time's sake.
Oh, but I do, old friend.
Again he motioned with the blaster.
Be a good sport. Don't make me shoot you.
Han tightened the straps of his travel pack, thinking that it might somehow cushion his fall. Then he squared his shoulders and blew out his breath. Narrowing his eyes at Rek, he took a backward step into the abyss. Droma let out an anguished shriek and went rigid with shock. He was still wailing when Han finally hauled himself hand over hand up the Rin's tail and swung, panting, to the deck, a safe distance from the edge of the deactivated drop shaft.
You saved my neck, Droma. I won't forget this.
Droma snorted.
I couldn't very well let you fall. As you said, you're too well known to die.
You better believe it. And rich. Come on, we might still be able to catch them.
Droma exhaled in exasperation.
You never give up, do you?
Han threw a smile over his shoulder.
Thanks to you, I got my second wind.
I'll know better next time,
Droma muttered. Han raced down the passageway for the hatch to the docking bay, but even from a distance it was clear that the hatch release mechanism had been rendered inoperative by a well-aimed blaster bolt. It was the same at every hatch that accessed the docking bay from that part of the Queen. But by the time they had circled back to the first hatch, the passageway was thick with the astringent smell of molten plasteel, and a neat half-circle had been burned through the hatch.
Hull cutter,
Han said excitedly. He and Droma fell back as the cutter completed its work. Moments later, a massive disc of alloy dropped to the floor. Through wisps of white smoke surged a dozen New Republic elite forces, there to intercept the raiders. When the soldiers had stormed down the passageway, seemingly unaware that most of the Peace Brigade had already abandoned ship, Han motioned Droma through the circular breach in the hatch. In the spacious, pressurized bay sat the sleek assault craft that had brought the troopers aboard, along with two X-Wings. One of the starfighter pilots was just climbing from the cockpit when Han ran up to him to ask if he'd seen any ships leaving the bay. The pilot took off his helmet and shook his long hair out of his face.
Word is that three shuttles launched, but I didn't see any of them.
The pilot gave Han and Droma a distrustful look.
Who are you two?
Han was considering just whose name he should drop to facilitate commandeering a fighter when another ship nosed through the docking bay's transparent force field and surrendered itself to the grasp of the Starlighter's artificial gravity. It took Han a moment to accept that it really was the Falcon. Droma guffawed in derision.
Will you look what the Queen dragged in?
Han whirled on him.
Hey, that's my ship you're talking about.
Droma looked from Han to the Falcon and back again.
Your ship?
Without bothering to explain, Han hastened for the landing zone while the Falcon was settling down on her broad discs of landing gear. He was waiting at the foot of the starboard ramp when Luke, Mara, and Leia appeared. Behind them came R2-D2 and C-3PO, who on seeing Han raised his arms and nearly took a tumble in his haste to reach him.
Thank the Maker you're alive, the droid exclaimed.
Leia's face lit up. She tried to run to Han's arms, but he deftly avoided contact.
Did you spot any departing shuttles when you were coming in?
He asked. She shook her head. Leia, meet Droma, he said in a rush, dragging the Rin between them.
Droma, my wife Leia.
Leia blinked.
Droma? Who?
The Corvette, Han said to Luke. Is it away?
No.
Rek must be headed for the Yuuzhan Vong ship,
Han said, shooting Droma a look.
Rek?
Leia asked.
Peace Brigade, Han said, as if one word. They reclaim the defectors.
Luke regarded him with intense interest.
Defectors?
Han turned to him and a fragile-looking Mara, clenching his fists in recall of what Elan had said about a Yuuzhan Vong introduced illness.
No time to explain.
He raced up the ramp. Stroma glanced at Leia.
"Nice to meet you," he said,
and then dashed up the ramp, stiff tail shaking behind him. Luke looked at Leia in puzzlement.
"Han, wait,"
he started to say, when Leia laid a restraining hand on his arm.
"No, Luke, let him go."
She gazed up the ramp as Han and his accomplice were vanishing from view.
"I have a feeling he needs this."
Han let momentum carry him into the cockpit and into the pilot's seat. He was flipping switches and toggles when Droma entered. "You familiar with YT-1300s? Han asked over his shoulder, both hands in ceaseless motion.
"Our caravan from the corporate sector included several 1300s, though that wasn't something we bragged about."
Han scowled and gestured to the co-pilot's seat.
"Strap in, scratch coat. This one's something to brag about."
Droma assessed the cockpit with a scowl as the Falcon powered toward the starfield beyond.
"I thought you said you were an important guy."
Han snorted a laugh and jerked his thumb over his shoulder.
"That guy in the robe back there, that was Luke Skywalker."
Droma looked impressed.
"The Jedi Skywalker?"
"One and the same. My wife is Leia Organa."
Droma scratched his head.
"So your real name is Han Organa?"
"Solo,"
Han growled in annoyance.
"Han Solo."
When Droma just stared at him, he added,
"You're saying you haven't heard of me?"
"I may have," Droma allowed, "but we Rin meet so many people."
Han loosed a long exhale and concentrated on the business at hand.
"Set the friend or foe authenticator to scan for Sinar Fleet System's Marshall-class shuttles,"
Han directed Droma while he increased power to the Falcon's drive. Droma located the authenticator and initiated a scan.
"Found one," he reported almost immediately, "making for the Yuuzhong Vong ship."
Han compressed his lips.
"That would be wreck."
"We'll never catch him."
Han threw him a sidelong glance.
"Don't be fooled by age, partner."
Despite the high setting of the inertial compensator, the Falcon's sudden increase in velocity nearly pinned Droma to the seat back. His rakish cap flew from his head, and his eyes opened wide in astonishment. He loosed a raucous cry.
"Yee-haw! What a ship! What a beauty!"
Han merely grinned.
"When you catch your breath, tell me about that shuttle."
"Still closing on the enemy vessel," Droma said through his thrill.
"Come on, come on," Han urged his ship.
Unexpectedly, the comm board crackled to life.
"Millennium Falcon, this is the Thirst. Ambassador, I thought I asked you to keep out of this."
"Ambassador Organa Solo is presently aboard the Queen,"
Han said toward the console's audio pickup.
"Is that you, Han? It's Mac Jorlin."
"Mac,
what are you doing out there, Han?"
"Chasing down a shuttle that has something the New Republic needs. Mac, once I grab it, I might need support on the way back in."
"Affirmative, Millennium Falcon. And, Han, welcome back to the cause. Now I know we've got a fighting chance."
Han felt Droma's eyes on him.
"This gets more and more curious," Droma said.
Han enabled the auto-tracking fire controller for the Falcon's aft warship-rated quad laser. Bracketing the fleeing shuttle in the display's targeting reticle, he moved his right hand to the trigger joystick. He was about to fire when, without warning, the Falcon seemed to plunge through a gravitic anomaly. Han barely had time to hit the reverse thrusters to keep the ship from pouncing on its quarry in the worst of ways. In fact, though, the shuttle had slowed drastically and was all but drifting in space.
"It's like it hit a repulsor field," Han said as he made rapid adjustments to the controls.
Droma nodded.
"She looks dead."
When the distance between the Falcon and the shuttle had decreased to a few kilometers, Han unfastened his seat harness and stood up.
"Take over," he told Droma. "Maneuver us alongside. Use the tractor beam if you need to. I'll ready the port side grapple and cofferdam."
"You're planning to board?" Droma blurted, gawking at him. "The Yuuzhong Vong must know what it's carrying. What if that ship draws a bead on us?"
Han glanced out the viewport. Still some distance away and illuminated by brilliant spherical explosions, the frigate sat at the center of a swirling firefight.
"Guess I'll have to work fast," Han said, and rushed from the cockpit.
Suited up for EVA and armed with a blaster rifle, Han floated through the extensible vapor-tight tube that magnetically linked the Falcon's portside docking arm to the shuttle's starboard airlock. No one met him at the door.
"I'm inside,"
he relayed to Droma.
"Pressure, gravity, and atmosphere are all operative. I'm going into the passenger compartment first."
Opening the hatch, Han stepped inside. A grainy black substance which crunched underfoot covered the deck plates and nearly every horizontal surface. Han stooped to take a pinch between his gloved fingers and bring it to the helmet's faceplate.
"Some kind of black stuff all over the place,"
he said into the comlink.
"Like tiny nut husks or something."
Han moved down the aisle and gave a start as he came to the forward row of seats. Slumped there were three of Rex's comrades, their faces hideously contorted and their shirts soaked with blood that had cascaded from eyes, ears, and noses.
"What is it?"
Droma asked in anxious response to Han's brief outcry.
"Three dead. From, I don't even know what, massive blood vessel ruptures it looks like."
"You're certain the shuttle didn't depressurize?"
"Even if it did, this is like nothing I've ever seen."
Han glanced at the open forward hatch.
"I'm moving into the cockpit."
Inside, he found the same black grit, as well as Rek, Kaepo, and the one Han thought to be a Yuuzhan Vong, all dead and similarly drenched in blood. Open and overturned on the floor was the case the enemy agent had carried. Close by lay the body of the vicious creature that had sent Ilan's Uglith massacre into a panic.
"Rek's dead,"
Han said into the comlink.
"They're all dead."
"The females, too?"
"No sign of them. Unless they're in cargo."
Han took one last look at Rek.
"Down you go,"
he said, mostly to himself. He walked back through the passenger compartment to the rear hold and hit the hatch release.
"Found them,"
he told Droma, even before the hatch had pocketed itself. On a large square of deck grating lay Ilan and Verger, unconscious but otherwise unharmed. The hold was free of black husks. Han put his arm under Ilan's narrow shoulders and gently lifted her. Her intense blue eyes blinked open, then went wide in fright. She flailed in his arms, her sudden movements causing Verger to stir as well.
"It's me, Han,"
he said. Ilan began to relax.
"They drugged us," she said groggily, then glanced around in confused apprehension. "Where are they? What happened? Why are you wearing a space suit?"
He helped her to her feet and slowly led her into the passenger compartment. Her foot had scarcely touched the black grit when she gasped and stood petrified.
"Botus," she said, in what Han assumed was Yuuzhan Vong. "A bioweapon, an airborne blood agent."
"This black stuff is whatever?"
Ilan shook her head.
"What you see is the aftermath of Botus, a harmless residue."
She gestured to the forward seats.
"What they inhaled killed them."
Verger stepped from the cargo hold and stifled a scream.
"Everyone but you two are dead," Han said.
Ilan stared at him in bewilderment.
"But who did this?"
"That's what I'd like to know,"
Han said.
"Could the Peace Brigade have been carrying some of that stuff?"
"Yes, possibly. They had a Dovin Basil and an unmasker. They might have had Botus as well."
She looked at Han.
"Perhaps they planned to use it on passengers aboard the Starliner."
"Why didn't it affect you?"
"On launch from the Queen of Empire, they sealed us into the compartment where you found us."
She held his gaze.
"We Yuuzhan Vong are immune, in any case."
Han nodded noncommittally and activated the comlink.
"Droma, meet me in the docking arm. I'm bringing them aboard."
"You'd better be quick about it,"
Droma replied rapidly.
"That warship's headed right for us."
With missiles from the Yuuzhan Vong frigate slamming against her shields and detonating to all sides, the Millennium Falcon raced back toward the still immobile Starliner. Han's hands flew across the cockpit console.
"Angle the rear deflectors. If we can't outrun them, we can at least try to stay in one piece."
He looked over his shoulder at Ilan and Verger. "Get to the acceleration couch in the forward hold." Droma waited until they had disappeared to say, "Verger's not an extragalactic, Han. I don't know the species, but I've seen her type before."
Han glanced at him. "What are you telling me? That she's an imposter?"
"I'm not sure. Maybe, only that those two don't add up."
"You don't trust them?"
"Do you?"
Han considered his answer, then shook his head. "Something's been nagging at me. Why would the Yuuzhang Vong send a warship to back up the Peace Brigade? If they knew Ilan was aboard the Queen, they would have done the job themselves. And another thing, even if some Yuuzhang Vong bioweapon escaped aboard the shuttle, that doesn't explain the shuttle's decelerating the way it did."
"Unless the Yuuzhang Vong deliberately slowed it down."
Han compressed his lips. "Exactly what I was thinking. You remember Rex Mann reporting that the Corvette was glitched, that they couldn't disengage from the Queen?"
Droma nodded. "The Corvette pulled the Queen from hyperspace, but suddenly was unable to break away from her."
"Which could happen if the Yuuzhang Vong tasked the Dovan Basil aboard the Corvette to hold fast to the Queen."
The Falcon shook as a projectile caught up with her. Han and Droma flinched, but dozens more missiles streaked past the ship to port and starboard.
"I'm tempted to see what happens if we stop taking evasive action."
"Not too tempted, I hope,"
Droma said worriedly.
Han growled. "I've gone up against the Yuuzhang Vong ships before. They just don't miss this often. It's like they're doing everything they can to convince us they want their property back."
"When they actually want Ilan and Verger to remain where they are."
Han rubbed his jaw. "But why the ruse?"
Han fell silent for a moment, then reached for his pack and located his holstered blaster. Getting to his feet, he buckled the holster around his hips and fastened the thigh grip.
"Take over," he told Droma.
He hurried to the forward hold where Ilan and Verger were seated side by side on the acceleration couch.
"Can you outspeed the warship?"
Ilan asked in a way that was meant to sound guileless.
"Probably not," he told her. "But I think your people will make us think we did."
She looked at him questioningly.
"I mean, that I'm beginning to think they don't want you back. That this whole thing, your defection, maybe even this battle, is part of some elaborate scheme your superiors cooked up."
"You don't care that I have important information for the Jedi?"
she said in a scurrilous but composed voice. Wrestling with uncertainty, Han paced the hold.
"I don't know what to think."
He came to a halt and regarded the two of them.
"I suppose I could take you back to the Queen and let Jedi Master Skywalker decide."
"Yes," Ilan said hurriedly. "You must at least do that."
Han heard her, but what struck him was the look of shocked recognition that played briefly over Verger's exotic features.
"You're right," he said at last. "I guess I'm just being overly suspicious."
He turned as if to head to the cockpit, then stopped and said,
"That creature that shredded your Ooglith masker aboard the Queen, does it respond only to a Yuuzhang Vong handler, or will it adapt to anyone?"
"Only a Yuuzhang Vong," Ilan said.
Han saw her stiffen, if ever so slightly.
"You said the Yuuzhang Vong are immune to that bioweapon that got loose aboard the shuttle."
Face tightened with hatred, she nodded. And Han grinned.
"You just remembered that I found the handler dead in the cockpit. A Yuuzhang Vong handler. You loosed that bioweapon from the safety of the cargo hold. You were never drugged. That was all part of the act."
Han's smile straightened, and he cocked his head toward the Falcon's starboard ring corridor.
"Droma, take us about. Steer a course for the Yuuzhang Vong ship."
Though muted by distance, Droma's "What?" teemed with disbelief.
"You heard me. Unless I'm seriously mistaken, they won't fire on us."
Drawing his blaster, he ordered Ilan and Verger to rise from the couch.
"I'm not taking any chances with you two."
"You're making a big mistake,"
Ilan said.
"It wouldn't be the first time, sister. Stand up and get moving."
He approached one of the port side escape pods and slammed his hand on the hatch release stud. When the broad circular hatch had irised open, Han motioned to it.
You're going back where you belong, ladies, marked Return to Sender.
He waved the blaster and Elan climbed nimbly into the pod. Verger was about to follow, when Elan suddenly brushed her aside, grabbed hold of Han and tugged him headfirst into the sphere. As she slammed him into the curved hull, his blaster flew from his grasp. She backed toward the still-open hatch, her mouth an intentional rictus of retaliation. Han shook his head in an attempt to uncross his eyes. Elan continued to sidle toward the hatch.
I'll be putting you out of your misery now.
Huh? He asked dizzily.
She grinned malevolently.
One breath for you, one left for the Jedi. Breathe deeply, Han.
Crouched to spring through the hatch, she forced an interminable exhale. Then, whirling about, she leapt for the hatch. But the Falcon, dodging fire, slewed acutely to starboard, and the hatch irised shut. Dumped onto his back, Han again got the wind knocked out of him. At the same time, Elan hit the closing hatch and rebounded. Bug-eyed with fear, she scrambled to her feet and tried desperately to force the hatch open, but it refused to budge. Dumbfounded and still unable to catch his breath, Han heard a voice say, "Poisoned air," though he couldn't be sure just whose voice he was hearing, or indeed if it was actually a voice or a thought that had come to him in response to what he'd observed on the shuttle. As if on its own, his hand seized the survival tool clipped to his belt. Fumbling frantically with the compressed oxygen feature, he finally managed to shove the twin tank device to his lips and bite down on the spatulate mouthpiece to start the oxygen flowing. Through the pod porthole, he caught a brief glimpse of Verger, but he couldn't tell if she was attempting to open the hatch or secure it further. Elan swung away from the hatch in dread, her lips pressed tightly together and her face a blotchy red. Staring at Han, she made a grab for him, but he sidestepped and tripped her in the process. Collapsing to her hands and knees, she threw a baleful look over her shoulder, cursing Han with every cell in her body, then inhaled hoarsely. Her body went rigid. A sudden cough sent blood fountaining from her mouth. From eyes, ears, and nose it poured as she lifted her head and howled in anguish. Mouth twisted around the life-saving inhaler, Han backed away, pressing himself to the curved wall and averting his gaze. Spots formed before his eyes, and he thought he might pass out. Then the spots began to precipitate and scurry madly about the pod. The black residue of Elan's toxic exhalation crawling all over him, he staggered for the hatch and hammered the release stud with the heel of his hand. He brushed frantically at the tiny life forms and crushed dozens at a time with stumps of his feet. A warning tone sounded from the survival tool. He was fast running out of air. Eyes bulging from his head, he slammed his fists against the padded hatch and porthole. He was down to recycling his last breath when the hatch suddenly irised open and he pitched headfirst to the floor of the rear hold. Gulping air, he looked up to see Droma standing over him. "What made you come back here?" Han asked between breaths.
"A feeling," Droma told him.
Han gestured weakly to the pod.
"The bugs..."
Droma caught sight of Elan's bloodied corpse and momentarily froze. Then he quickly resealed the hatch and began killing escapees with his hands and feet. Shortly, some of the few remaining critters began to expire on their own, transforming into the same featherweight husks that had been found aboard the shuttle. Han propped himself against the bulkhead and wiped sweat from his forehead.
"That's two I owe you.
I'll add it to your tab,"
Droma said, panting. A ship-rattling explosion brought Han fully alert.
"Where's Verger?"
Droma glanced down the ring corridor and shook his head.
"Get back to the cockpit,"
Han said.
"I'll find her."
Another powerful strike sent the Falcon on edge, and out of the starboard ring corridor flew Elan's familiar, crashing into Han just as he was getting to his feet. She planted herself in the center hold, her reverse articulated legs tensed for action.
"Don't make this hard on yourself,"
Han warned. Another projectile found the ship, rocking it to its ribs. Droma's voice wailed from an intercom annunciator in the bulkhead.
Han, you sure the Yuuzhan Vong don't want them back? They're being awfully convincing.
Han kept his gaze on Vergeer and adopted a combat stance.
They're gonna have to settle for half, he mumbled.
Vergeer brought out her right hand to show Han a drinking bowl she had obviously grabbed from the galley. Squeezing the bowl, she suddenly brought it to her right eye, as if to suction brimming tears. Han hurled himself at her, but Vergeer executed an agile leap that carried her out of reach, then another that front-flipped her straight into the escape pod. Han made a lunge for the pod, but an evasive maneuver by Droma set the ship on edge once more, and Han went sailing past the pod and a quarter of the way down the portside ring corridor. By the time he regained his balance and had stumbled back to the rear hold, Vergeer was already arming the pod's separator charges. Han reached through the hatch for her, only to have his hands deflected.
Thank you, Han Solo, for giving me the chance to return to my own kind, she told him.
Without warning, she tossed the filled bulb at him.
See that this reaches the Jedi.
Reflexively, Han caught the bulb. He threw himself at the closing hatch, but not in time. The pod's launch warning system came to life. Han beat a fast retreat into the rear hold and flattened himself to the deck grating as the pod launched with a concussive thump that made his ears pop. Blast! He screamed, yanking himself upright. Rushing to the cockpit, he found Droma still steering a slalom course directly for the Yuuzhan Vong frigate.
The other way! The other way!
Han screamed, heaving himself into the pilot seat.
Make up your mind!
Droma yelled back. Han took the controls and threw the Falcon into an ascending loop, hoping to catch sight of the launched escape pod on the downward curve. For a moment, he had the sphere in the ship's tracking reticle. But he lost it just as quickly, as a Yuuzhan Vong missile streaked across the Falcon's bow. The flaming projectile appeared to lock onto the pod like a predator hot on a blood scent. A blinding explosion forced Han to glance away. And when he looked back, the pod was gone. A second later, however, he thought he glimpsed it out of the corner of his eye, plunging toward the night side of a heavily cratered planetoid. Then again, it was possible that the Yuuzhan Vong frigate's Dovan Basil had already captured the pod and brought it on board. Then, streaking away, the frigate made an abrupt jump to light speed. Han leveled out the ship and Droma cut her speed. He and the Rin collapsed in their seats as if someone had just let the air out of them.
Is it over?
Droma asked after a moment. Han nodded.
For the time being...
Droma glanced at Han and uttered a short laugh.
You know, I could almost believe you've been doing this sort of thing all your life.
Han pushed himself upright in the chair and favored him with a roguish grin.
What makes you think I haven't?
In Coruscant, the Mon Calamari Jedi Silgal, the Ithorian healer Tomla El, and the Hoden physician Izim Ulas waited expectantly for the MD-1 technician to complete its analysis of the tears Vergeer had allegedly shed into a drink bulb aboard the Millennium Falcon. Shortly, the vaguely human-like droid projected the results as animated holograms of the liquid's chemical composition and its interaction with cells scraped from the inside of Mara Skywalker's cheek.
The chemical structure reflects what might be expected from tears, Tomla El said, leaning forward on his great buttressed feet. But we've no way of determining whether they are indeed characteristic of Vergeer's species. Yes, but look here, Ulas said excitedly, gesturing to the interaction hologram. See how the substance is being drawn into the cells, almost as if being sponged up. And look how the cell reacts, like an infusion of nutrient. I'm encouraged,
Ulas said to the lab's other two occupants. Hand in hand, Luke and Mara stepped closer to the droid's holographic projections and made a pretense of regarding them with the same scientific captivation demonstrated by the Ithorian and the Hoden. Luke was keenly aware that one of Silgal's bulbous eyes was trained on Mara rather than on the displays. Tomla El turned his sinuous head toward Luke and said out of both mouths,
I'm uneasy.
Everyone waited for him to continue. The priestess Elan was a weapon dispatched by the Yuzhang Vong to assassinate the Jedi. Why think that Vergeer wasn't an accomplice, equally involved? Han Solo obviously believed that she was, or he wouldn't have sought to return her to the enemy.
Han wasn't sure about Vergeer, Silgal said, answering for Luke.
Why would Elan be harboring a deadly toxin while her own familiar harbored an antidote to Mara's illness?
Perhaps Vergeer was not what she seemed, Luke said, even to Elan. He paused briefly, then added, Han admits that he was tempted to destroy the drink bulb until he began to think about what Vergeer said to him before she jettisoned in the escape pod. She thanked him for giving her the chance to return to her own people. And Han said she reacted to hearing my name.
Tom Lael is correct about one thing,
Ulas said, turning from the holograms.
We can't be sure this ostensible gift isn't part of a plan to instill us with false confidence and inadvertently do greater harm to Mara.
All eyes fell on her. As wan as she had become over the course of only a few weeks, she continued to reveal boundless grit and defiance. All at once, Luke called the bulb to his hand with the Force. But Mara just as quickly snatched it from him and took a few drops into her mouth before Luke could stop her.
Mara!
Ulos and Tom Lael said in unison. But Mara wasn't in distress. She inhaled sharply, then opened her eyes wide.
Oh, Luke, she said, as if in awe. I can't explain exactly how I feel, but it's like water after days of going without it.
She looked at her hands, first the palms, then the backs, and touched her face.
My fingers and my face are tingling.
Mara's arms and legs began to tremble. She put her head back as if fighting for breath. She might have fallen if Luke had not hurried to her side.
Quickly, Luke, convey her to the table,
Ulas said. Luke carried her to the diagnostic table and set her down on her back. Eyes tightly shut, Mara groaned and hugged her trembling torso. Luke searched for encouragement in the eyes of Silgal, Tom Lael, and Ulas, but found none. He returned his gaze to Mara and reached for her in the Force. As he did, the spastic movements of her limbs began to subside, and her entire countenance began to change. Her face relaxed, and tears leaked from the outside corners of her eyes. Luke's face grew warm, and his eyes grew moist with relief and vigilant joy. Mara's eyes blinked open, and she smiled weakly.
I think it's working,
she said softly, wetting her lips with her tongue. She closed her eyes once more, as if luxuriating in what she was experiencing.
I can feel it coursing through me. It's as if every cell in my body was being bathed in light.
She groped blindly for Luke's hand and drew it to her breast.
I think I'm healing, Luke. I'm sure I'm healing.
A smile of unabashed delight split his face. He put his arm under his wife's shoulders and gently lifted her into his embrace. Her arms encircled his neck and she clung to him, crying quietly and joyously.
We have our victory, Luke whispered.
Leia hurried through the apartment's front entry onto the skyward balcony, but as eager as she was to give Han and Anakin the good news about Mara, she restrained herself from intruding on their conversation. When Han grasped Anakin and tugged him into a tight embrace, Leia thought her heart might break. Her hand flew to her mouth and she fought back tears. Han moved Anakin away, but kept his hands on his son's shoulders. I'm sorry for what I said and the way I've been acting since Chewie died. We did everything we could have done at Cern Padal, and Chewie knew that. We both know who's responsible for his dying. But I don't want vengeance prompting you to do anything foolish. You understand? You and Jason and Jaina are more important to me than you'll ever know. Anakin nodded and almost grinned. He and Han embraced once more.
I gotta get going,
Anakin said after a moment. Uncle Luke is expecting me back on Yavin 4.
One thing before you leave, Leia said, smiling. Verger's gift seems to be working. I just heard from Luke that Mara is stronger than she's been in months. The three of them fell into a brief, gleeful embrace, which Anakin broke. First the Yuuzhan Vong poison Mara. Then they send an assassin against us, he said bitterly. I'll remember what you said about vengeance, Dad. But they've made this war personal. Leia's eyes clouded over with misgivings, and she gave Anakin another hug. Take care of yourself, she shouted as Anakin headed for the Skyway Bridge. Han glanced at Leia.
So Verger was on the level, after all. It's funny how things work out. You go in search of one thing and end up finding something else. If I didn't know better, I'd think it was the Force at work.
Leia kept quiet. She heard something troublesome in his voice. She indicated his travel pack. That hasn't left your side since you got back. Are you going to unpack?
No use unpacking just yet.
Leia folded her arms under her breasts. I guess I should have seen this coming. Then you're not really home.
I've got a few things that need doing.
Such as?
Such as finding Roa, for starters. And helping Droma locate his clanmates. He saved my skin, you know, twice.
Leia launched a sardonic laugh to the sky.
Don't tell me you owe Droma a life debt. This is too much, Han, even for you.
His brow furrowed.
You can't expect me just to forget about Roa or leave Droma hanging.
Leia snorted.
Relapse complete. Say hello to your former self, Han. Relapse nothing. This is the same me you married, sweetheart.
Leia started to say something, but changed her mind and began again.
I don't know how you've done it for so long, she said. Done what?
Raise a family? Walk so far from the edge?
That was just my fling with stability.
He tried out his grin, but it didn't work.
Look, I'm just leaving, okay? I've got obligations.
What about your obligations to us? I won't have you dropping by here once a year, using our home as a base for your escapades. Han curled his upper lip.
You're way off the mark.
She smiled faintly. I suppose we'll just have to see about that. Han frowned sadly, then put his arms around her.
Trust me.
She gave him a dubious look. I've heard that before. He raised her hand and kissed the palm.
Tuck that in your pocket for later on.
Scooping up his pack, he made for the sky bridge without looking back.
Other titles in the Star Wars series available on audio from Random House Audiobooks are The New Jedi Order, Vector Prime. Dark Tide 1, Onslaught. Dark Tide 2, Ruin. And Rogue Planet. Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Agents of Chaos 1, Heroes Trial, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2000. All rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2000, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House Audiobooks presentation.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.